Have you ever asked yourself, what if I don't have what it takes? Or how do I know what voices are the right voices to listen to in my life? Or what about what do I do when the worst case scenario actually happens? If you've ever asked yourself any of these questions, my friend, you are in good company. And today we have writer, speaker, and now author Heidi Lee Anderson on the podcast to share with us how we can choose faith over fear no matter what. Heidi is a Bible teacher and a stay-at-home mama, and after an unexpected cancer diagnosis in her early 20s, Heidi is no stranger to the fears, worries, and anxieties of this world. But thanks to the good news of the gospel, the story does not end there, and Heidi's fuel is now to make sure that Christ followers realize, know, and claim the sure promises of God in the mundane, amid the heartache, and on top of the highest mountains. So are you ready to choose faith over fear? If so, grab your coffee, get ready to laugh, because Heidi is stinking hilarious, and be encouraged, and listen in to this conversation with Heidi Lee Anderson. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. Heidi, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I am so excited for this conversation. I cannot wait to get to talk to you.
This is so fun for me. I hope your people know, like, I have been your friend. I have been loving following you just even on Instagram. And then I'm like, she has a podcast? And I've been binging it. So I just love what you're doing. Jenna, you're doing amazing things. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you. Well, I could say the same to you. I feel like I'm like sitting down with my friend and also maybe fangirling a little bit because I'm like taking a break from Instagram this year, and literally the only account that I miss is yours. And I'm like, I just want to log in to be able to see what Heidi said today.
Oh,
and
so, you are so kind. Well, I'm just branching out. I've been thinking of this for a long time. And you know how sometimes it's like, you want to do a new venture, but you don't really know where to start. So I'm just dabbling into YouTube. That's my next thing where I can do maybe longer form devotional type things. So anyway, so even when you're not on Instagram, my hope is there'll be other ways to connect. So,
yes. Well, I get all your emails and everything, and I'm just like soaking it up. I'm here for everything you have to say. And so, like we've established, we know each other, but I would love for you to just give a little bit of an intro. Tell us about you. What do we need to know? What should...
Okay. That's right. There may not be people that know who we are. Okay. Okay. Well, I love Jesus. That is the very first thing you should know about me. I love studying and talking about his word like I do on social media. But like, if you would have met me 15 years ago, like when I went to college, which is kind of hard to admit, like it's been 15 years. But one of my first classes was Old Testament. And I was that person in the back row, like eyes totally glazed over. And while it seemed like all the other homeschool people could rattle off all 66 books of the Bible, like in chronological order, I was like, first question on the test, which is a book of the Bible, Habakkuk or Malachi? And I was like, is this a trick question? Because neither of those sound right. Both of those sound weird. But with all that to say, like people are not Bible scholars the very first time they open up the Bible, right? In fact, people aren't Bible scholars 15 years reading into it. I am nowhere near having a master's in theology or biblical studies, but I'm a Christ follower that loves walking with the Lord day by day. And I love taking people on the journey with me. And I just share about what he's teaching me.
I love that.
And the second thing, I'm a wife and a mom. Those two titles basically make up my identity for most of every day. I've been married to Ty. Now it'll be 10 years this year. And we have Oscar, who's 8, Mabel, who's 6, Hazel's 4, and Dottie Girl just turned 1, which is
crazy. Where does the time go?
I know it.
That is wild.
Thankfully, she's not walking yet, so she still seems like a little baby to me. But we live in the great state of Minnesota, like all things hot dish, duck, duck, gray duck, pop, not soda or Coke. What do you call it, Jenna?
I kind of say both.
You do.
I don't know. I feel like there are certain areas of the country that like have their things, like, you know, pop, not soda, this, not that. And up here in the Pacific Northwest, we're like
whatever,
a mesh of things. Like, and I say that I'm on the good side of Washington State. I'm on the nice side of Washington. So when people think Washington, they think Seattle, and they think like, ooh, like this big city. No, I'm like on the farm town side of Washington, where people are kind to you, and so it's like it's this weird combination of like I feel like we have all different kinds. So I don't know. I don't know what I say.
You don't have to pigeonhole yourself in any type. That's
fine. I think I mostly say specifically like Diet Coke or Sprite or
that makes sense.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's legit.
So that's me.
All right. Sorry for that tangent. I just
It's an important thing to.
And I did not know when I left Minnesota. I've been doing these speaking engagements around the U.S. and they're like, I did not know we had all these differences, you know, just state by state. And it's so interesting to me what is different and what's the same with people. But
no, I've seen a few of your things that you've like put up on your stories about things like that. Like, what do you say?
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I feel like I've been able to say like, no, I agree with you. I say that too. So, but I think that there's other parts of the state that would say differently. Yes. So I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, the last thing about me that I want to say, and I know we're going to dive into this more, but I was diagnosed with cancer now 11 years ago. It was actually January of 11 years ago when I was single. And that was admittedly one of the biggest curveballs of my life. Like I will never forget sitting on that white crinkly paper and hearing the news for the first time. You have Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I looked at my mom who came with me because that's just, I brought my mom with me everywhere when I was 23. And I remember looking at her like, what even is that?
Yeah.
Because without any family history of cancer or really any disease whatsoever, I mean, those titles just kind of went over my head. And I remember them explaining, you know, it's cancer in your lymph nodes. And after 3 weeks of testing and waiting and trying to figure out what stage I was at, I found out I did have stage 2. I would have to go through 6 months of chemotherapy, or so they thought. That's when my story gets good. Months of chemo and 6 weeks of radiation. And that's kind of the fuel of why I show up on Instagram, why I'm writing my upcoming book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. And what I feel like the Lord has called me to, like in general, when I'm talking with people out and about, it's that verse in 2 Corinthians 1 that I always think about. And it talks about how the God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles. It says, but why? It says, so that we can comfort others. So when they are troubled, we're able to give that same comfort God has given us to them. And that's why I'm here ultimately. God did not abandon me and my cancer diagnosis. He did not abandon any of us as we battle things like infertility or job loss or financial hardship. And I am convinced of Romans 8:28 that he will use all things, not just some things, not just the good things, but he will use it all for our good and his glory. And it's twofold, you know? And I love that. So that's me. That's the root of my passion. The message I feel like God has empowered me to share. And I just, it's fun to talk about and share my story. So thanks for giving me a chance.
Yeah, of course. You kind of glossed over it, but I feel like we need to go back because you have a book coming out. That's no small thing.
Yeah.
And I am so excited to read it. And it is called P.S. It's Gonna Be Good. And I feel like it's just like, from what I've seen of it, it's an overflowing of your heart. And so I would just love, tell us about the book. Tell us about the inspiration behind it. Why this book? Why now?
Yeah.
Give us all the deets on the book.
So on Instagram, I have over 100,000 followers and I receive a lot of DMs, and some of them are like lighthearted and funny, right? Like, I too pulled a muscle while sleeping. Like, us 30-year-olds need to commiserate. Like, why does that happen the day we turn 30? But other times, most days and every day, I would get a message along the lines of, I received bad news today. Like, I know God is here, but why is this happening? Or I've been waiting for years on this unanswered prayer. I'm just wondering how much longer until God shows up, because I'm just getting so tired. Or things like, what do I do when God feels silent? What does it feel like when God's holding on to me? Anything, all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in each chapter of my book, we will not only follow a new Bible hero in every chapter and following their footsteps and sitting in the middle of their stories as if we were there in real time, but each chapter also addresses one of these questions. That's what the title is. So 20 questions, there's 20 chapters. Like, why am I off course? What if I don't have what it takes? This is something that I've just been wanting to give to people, because there's only so much you can put in a DM, right? And it's like, I want to break down the story of Joseph, and I want to point out this part and Martha. And at the end of the day, I mean, I realized these women were wondering the ultimate question that I was wondering when I sat in the cancer diagnosis. And sometimes whatever I'm struggling with today, I still struggle with these things. And that's ultimately, am I going to be okay? Like, God, am I going to be okay? Is this going to be okay? And if we pick up the Bible and flip to any story in there, I mean, we find out, just like they did, that for God's people, it's not only going to be okay, but because our God holds the final word, it's going to be good. That's biblical truth. That's Romans 8:28 as a theme throughout the entire Bible. So I break it down in every chapter, and it's like a collection of lessons I've learned, sermons I've listened to, studies I've read, like questions I've asked myself throughout this last decade since my diagnosis, because I mean, I'm still in the thick of scans. I have another mammogram next week. I've got a few more coming, just what I have to deal with as being in remission. But God is not silent about any of these questions that we ask. Like, he lays it all out in his word. It's just up to us to pick it up and listen to it. So, and then also to answer your question, like, why now? I think that's a great question. I think now, in what people have deemed us as the age of anxiety, is that these are questions like we are all asking when we are scared, when we're overwhelmed, when we're stressed, or just even disappointed, right? Like, these are questions during a cancer diagnosis, a miscarriage, a divorce, but then also little things throughout the day when our kids do something weird and we're like, God, am I even, what I'm doing, is this even making a difference? Like, do they even care? So whatever it is, from someone editing my audiobook to another person like setting up my author account, I've just already received so many messages saying like, this is what I need. I'm literally crying, but I can also think of 10 more people that need to read this because I think we need God's encouragement now more than ever, that it's going to be okay, that it's going to be good, you know, that he can redeem anything. So I'm confident in the timing. I've wanted to write a book my entire life, but there's a season for everything under the sun, right? And fun for me, the season to come out with my first book is now. April 2023 is the official release date, but yes, pre-orders start now, which is just super fun and a lot of goodies for that.
Yes, yes. I am so, so excited. I just, congratulations. That's such a huge thing. I think it's easy to see somebody come on the other side of like, oh, I'm releasing a book, it comes out. But like, I know that this is like years in the making, and lots of prayer and lots of lost sleep and lots of time in front of a laptop typing out, sore fingers, I'm sure. So I just, that is a huge, huge thing. And on top of that, doing that while being a mom of four is just like, well, I can't, I have no words.
It's funny that you say that, because literally, as I was writing the book, I was pregnant with Dottie, and my due date was actually the date the manuscript was due. And my publisher said,
"Isn't that always how it happens?"
And my publisher had said, "I don't know if I've ever had an author that's like birthing the book the same time you're birthing a baby." And it was funny, because when I was having contractions and I went into the hospital, as me and Tyler are like pacing around the mall trying to get through the contractions, I emailed my editor. I'm like, I need you to just send in the manuscript. I'm done. I'm having this baby and I'm done with the book.
We're done.
We're having both babies. So yeah, no, it's a That's wild so ride, cool. but it's been really fun.
I love it. I'm so happy for you. I feel like you're one of the biggest things that you talk about is, and the whole premise of the book and the whole premise of everything you share is just choosing faith over fear. Like if we had to put it into a sentence, that's what it is. And I feel like this book is like alternate title, The Field Guide to Choosing Faith Over Fear. Like here's every question. I love that you address all these different what if questions and because it's that's a real part of walking with God. And
sure.
I think sometimes we can feel like we shouldn't have those questions or we should just like faith isn't just not questioning anything.
Right?
Faith is welcoming those questions and then answering them with his word. And I just, I love the way you do that. Mm. I want to talk about chapter 4 in your book.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because chapter 4 is what if I don't have what it takes?
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone can relate to this more than a mom.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which is the entire community that we're talking to, the entire listener base is, we're all moms here. And so I would love to just talk through this a little bit and talk about how, you know, we can apply it to motherhood and even beyond motherhood. But I feel like this really rears its head.
For sure.
And when we're in the thick of motherhood.
Yeah, no, super good question. I totally agree with you. Okay, so let's take a look at that Bible character that answers that question. And that is our man, Gideon. Now, when God sent an angel to tell him to go fight the Midianites, what was his situation? Well, if we look at Judges 6, it tells us these people, these Midianites, were so oppressive to the Israelites that whatever crops they'd plant, you know, for to feed their stomachs, to feed their families, their well-being, well, these punks would come up from the east and seize it all. And they would camp out on the land. They would ruin the crops. It said that they ravaged the land so much and impoverished the Israelites. And then they just left them like that. So it's here that God sends an angel to Gideon, and he is threshing wheat on the inside when it is only ever done outside. That's like gardening down in your basement. Like you need the sun. But why is he doing that? He is terrified of these Midianites that they're going to show up and take everything. And then this is where we hear the angel say, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And it's like, excuse me, like you can almost see Gideon looking around, like his eyebrows raised, trying to hold back a grunt. Like he replies, "Pardon me." Like he's confused to say the least. First of all, I am not mighty. Like my clan is the weakest in this whole area. And me in particular, I am the least in my family. It is common knowledge. I know it, they know it. So how do you not know it, angel of the Lord? Because again, it's not like we meet Gideon like on the front lines. He's got his paint face battle ready. No, this guy's hiding out, not wanting to face his life. And he's basically resigned himself to defeat. And this is where the angel deems him mighty warrior. And it's kind of funny, right? And like you said, we can feel like in motherhood, like this exact feeling, can't we? Like, God, you've called me to be a Christian mom to my kids when maybe I didn't even have one growing up as an example. Or I'm called to mother them, guide them, like through the season that I don't even understand. Like puberty, besides going through it myself, like I barely remember and barely survive. Like, how am I supposed to do that with my kid? Or I mean, even when we've tried correcting our kids, disciplining them, hoping to change their habits or like temper their tempers, help them make wise choices, like when it doesn't seem to be making a difference. And it doesn't take much for us moms to wonder, like, me, like your ambassador, overcomer, like if anything, I feel ill-equipped and a bit unprepared. And maybe like Gideon, a lot of us have resigned ourselves to defeat in one area or another in motherhood as well. But here's the good news. And this is why I love Gideon's story and that we can take away from this is that we can focus on ourselves and our limitations. Like that is always an option. We know that full well, and we sometimes do that all too often. But the other option is we can listen to God and ask who he thinks we are. Because while Gideon saw himself as the weakest and the lowest, literally the lowest on the food chain. God called him mighty and warrior. And this shows us we are not who we think we are. Like, we might think we have a good picture, but we are always who God says we are. Yeah. And when our inner me voices inadequacy as our creator, who knows us better than ourselves, mind you, God always sees more. And it changes the game when we actually believe him. So as a mom, we have been chosen to raise these specific kids at such a time as this. So if ever we feel defeated or not equipped, way in over our head and tempted to hide out under the covers like all day long, let's remember Gideon and let's remember who our God says we are in his word. In him, we are his chosen ambassadors. We are raised up for such a time as this. And if he equipped Gideon for the fight ahead, well then, surely, most certainly, he will equip us as moms as we raise our kids in these times ahead, that our God is with us. He is on our side and the Holy Spirit literally dwelling within us. So then we are indeed mighty warriors raising up mighty warriors. Right, Jenna?
Yes, and amen. Take us to church. We're having Bible study today.
So much fun.
I love that. Gideon is such an amazing story.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, if Gideon can do it.
For sure.
Who are we to say, you know? And I think that's such an awesome thing to remember. Like, who am I to say that I can't?
Right.
When it comes to whatever God has called us to. One of the things that I have noticed in my own life.
Yeah.
That brings up a lot of fear or feeling of inadequacy or those what if questions are other voices.
Yeah.
Whether it's my own voice in my head or, you know, other voices on social media or other voices, what do we do about that? And how do we know which voices to listen to in our life?
Oh, man. That is a loaded question, right? I feel you completely. It is. In this world, it is competing voices all the time. And like you said, it's not just on social media. It's not just the news. It's not even from our friends and family. A lot of the battle is in our own minds.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One chapter in my book talks about this specifically. And as we follow Caleb coming back from scoping out the promised land, here's one piece of advice we get from this Bible story that we can apply to any decision we face. And that's ask ourselves whenever we're debating, like, which voice do I listen to? Or, you know, you don't know which is the voice of truth. Ask yourself, what about God is being spoken here? Because if you look back in Numbers 13 and 14 in the scouting report of the majority, not once did they mention God. Not once did they compare their plight to God. Their report was just focused on the large towns that were fortified that they saw. They reported the giants being too big, the amount of enemies in the land. But not once do we read any mention of God. And that is super important because if you skim through Caleb's account, everything was contrasted in light to his God. He said, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. So don't be afraid. Compared to our God, they are helpless prey. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. And so whatever we face, whatever we're considering or hearing or whatever we're up against, we can follow in Caleb's footsteps and filter every thought and voice with that same consideration. What does God say about this? And in comparison to him and what he said in his word, how should I view this then? So.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Well, it's so hard, right? And this is why we need each other. I mean, that's why these conversations are so important because, I mean, sometimes we just need someone else to tell us. We know the truth, but we just need confirmation. And that is why God is so good to give us the church, the body, because we aren't doing this alone. We're here to remind each other.
Yeah.
So that's why I love this.
Yeah. And community is so important when it comes to especially this because I have noticed that even there are times when, whether it's a friend talking to me or me talking to a friend, just saying it out loud kind of dissolves it.
For sure.
It's like you say, and you're like, wait, that you don't even need to answer me because I know how silly I sound now that I've said it out loud and I can hear my own voice saying that.
It's funny that you point that out, because I was just, I did this faith over everything challenge that I'm doing right now. And we walked through the story of Eve, and someone had said to me, so where does it say that Eve was alone, like in the beginning with the serpent? Because then later it says she gives the apple to Adam, who was with her. And I was telling, we were researching this. We had done a deep dive, because yeah, it doesn't say explicitly if she was alone or if she wasn't. There's different theories on that. But one thing that someone pointed out is, if Adam was with her, like, for instance, if I'm talking to Oscar and Mabel, my two kids, and if I said, did you guys do this? They'd probably look at each other and be like, no. I mean, there's like accountability in numbers, and you look at each other and it's like, once things are spoken to light, like the serpent lied out loud. And you can kind of pick that out when you're with people. But when you're alone, I mean, that can be so hard. And that's when the enemy really likes to single us out. So you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, being in community is so important. And a lot of us after 2020, like, we don't need to be told that, right? We've lived through that. We're ready to be together. So yeah, no, I totally agree. Community is so important.
So we can't talk about faith and fear and all of this without talking about worst case scenarios. And I know you have a unique story to be able to talk about worst case scenario, because you've kind of lived through a worst case scenario. Yeah. I mean, cancer is one of those things on the list of things. But I know as moms, we have those like impending doom type of fears. Yeah. Of things that will happen to our kids or our family or people we love, things like that. So how do we handle that fear? Because it's one thing, I think, to address the little daily things. But sometimes it can feel like those fears are just so big. And it's easy to say, like, God is bigger. Yeah. It's easy to say that. But how do we actually practically daily combat those fears? Yeah.
You know, that's a great question. And it's interesting. I was just talking to another friend that I know that was diagnosed with cancer. And we were talking about how the anticipation of it, like before treatment began, was actually way worse than actually being in cancer, because all of those what if fears, worst case scenarios were honestly harder to battle than the actual disease itself. And I think so often in life, that's how it is, right? The things that we think the worst case in our minds, it's actually way worse a lot of times than what will actually happen in real life. So I think it's really important. Like, I always think of that verse in Philippians where it says, think on what is true. And what is true right now? You know what I mean? Like, is this worst case scenario I'm playing out in my mind, is that actually true? Right now, no, it isn't. I don't know the future, but right now it isn't. So God tells me in his word, I don't need to dwell on it. But then the other thing I think about, and this is one of my favorite chapters in my book, and it's on Martha, and she shows us what happens when the worst case actually happens. And what I love about her is that she goes straight out to Jesus. Like, when Jesus is coming, she meets him on the road, and it's almost like you can picture with her hand on her hip, finger wagging, when she said, if you would have come like I asked, then my brother wouldn't have died. And I love that about Martha. Mary stayed back with the rest of the people who showed up in time, in her opinion. But Martha was like, I'm going out to Jesus. And I think when we are faced with worst case or thinking worst case, we need to go straight to Jesus. Because a lot of times he can dissipate that. Like, as the God of all hope, he brings hope back into our souls. Yes. And I think too often we stay in our thoughts longer than we need to. And we need to just go straight into the presence of the Lord. But then, I mean, again, it all goes back to Romans 8:28. That is literally the only thing that brings encouragement when I'm dealing with these worst case scenarios and these what if fears, is that we know this promise that no matter what is thrown our way, whatever was intended to harm us for evil, like, he will always flip it for good. I don't know what people in this life do without him and that promise. Like,
I have thought that to myself so many times. Like, I really don't know how you do life without.
For sure. Because life is, I mean, life is hard enough with Jesus.
Life is hard. Absolutely.
Without him, without any hope, I don't get it. But yes, I say we got to keep going back to Jesus. We have to let him speak his hope into our souls. And then we need to preach the Romans 8:28 to our souls, that we know it's going to be good and that his glory is going to be shown. So I really just want people to read the book because I'm like, all of this is answered. Like any of these thoughts, I get it. And it's here for you now. You can have it.
Yes. One thing that I think your book does and all of the way that you teach, it gives the person listening kind of permission to not be poised with God. Cause I think that can be kind of something that we fall into easily, is to just feel like we have to be like, dear God, please give me hope. Yeah. But no, like we can have a little Martha sass in us and we can go to, like, we don't have to, God can handle it. God can handle our, like, God, you should have been here. Why weren't you here? Yes. He can handle that. And it's through that intimacy with him, and intimacy is like peeling back all the layers. Yes. And that's what God wants from us. And so I think that it's important to remember that, like, this doesn't have to be always like this poised and quiet prayer. It's like, no, we can get a little feisty and have a little fire in our souls about.
Yes. It's about this. It's funny that you say that, because I also put this in my book. There's Psalm 109, I believe. And it's David is writing, and he's just laying it all out before God to the point where he's asking God for creditors to seize my enemy's real estate and all of his offspring die. And I'm like, oh my word.
Whoa.
If we were to ever tweet that, or someone find that like in our journal, we would for sure get canceled. You know what I mean?
Canceled right away.
And it's like, but he knew that God is a safe place, and he already knows what we're thinking anyways. And so why don't we go to him and let him soothe and comfort and encourage our souls, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's real. So how do we choose faith over fear, even when we don't feel like it? Because it's easy to get into these spaces where, and we're fired up and we're excited and, you know, we come home from church and we're like, woohoo, or we come home from listening to a podcast and we're excited and we're ready. Right. But then that feeling very quickly wears off.
Right. And don't you hate it when you don't feel it? I mean, even for like working out, I'm like, Lord, I could use some motivation. I don't ever feel it. You know, I don't ever want to. But you know what? So speaking of David, I love going back to the Psalms because of that, because when you crack open, take a look inside his journal entry. It did not look like a lot of times he was feeling like it, choosing faith. You know, he was, this guy, he had the king after him wanting to kill him. He had later his son hunting him down, wanting to kill him. Like, I'm not sure he was looking around being like, surely the Lord is in this place. Like, he's stressed and he's scared. But what I love about that, what I love about his Psalms though, and I think all too often, and again, I go deeper into this in one of the chapters of the book on David, but we short circuit our prayers like that, where we bemoan before God. We just lay it all out, but then we stop there. And it's almost like the next day we open up our PowerPoint presentation, same thing. Like, this is where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling. God, you're not answering. Like, where are you at? And what I love though is when you often see a shift in the Psalms, they start out laying it all out, because again, God already knows. So let's do that. Let's be vulnerable and honest, because that's what he wants. But then you always see this shift, and it says, like, they'll say it all. It's almost like he's preaching to his soul. Like, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Put your hope in God. I will praise him again. And I mean, again, it'd be like, what do you mean? Why is my heart so sad? Like, you just told us those are pretty severe things. Like, I don't want my son chucking toys at me across the room when he was two, but like, your son is after you to kill you. So like, I know why you're sad, but it wasn't about that. He's saying, in light of my God, who can do all things and who loves me, like is fiercely protective over my life because he loves me, then I will put my hope in him. And I think sometimes when we pray, it is time for us to stop just processing, external processing. Mm-hmm. It is high time to start preaching the truth to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Why am I sad? Why am I discouraged? I tonight am going to put my hope in God, even when I don't feel it, because I know that my God is faithful. And so I think that is key when we don't feel it, is that we can still preach truth to ourselves. I mean, it's a good thing that God's word isn't true whether or not we feel it or believe it. It's true all the time. Yeah. So we can just declare it. And if we don't have prayers to our, like our own prayers, we can't think of them. We're discouraged. Like, again, that's the beauty of the Psalms. Those are prayers and we can just echo them ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, so good and so practical to be able to just, like you said, don't stop at the processing.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy for us when we read the Psalms, it's easy for us to pull out like the little, the good little verse that says, you know, your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Yay. Yes. And we forget to read it as an entire prayer and see that it's through that when you give God the opportunity and you meet with him, he begins to change. I've noticed that in my own, whether it's prayer out loud or even journaling sometimes and things like that, I've noticed that it's like it starts out one way. Right. And the more you go, the more that I start to like verses or encouragements or things, affirmations, biblical affirmations will begin to like well up in my spirit that I, that are coming to the forefront of my mind. And so I just think that that's so important to remember, especially as a mom, because we don't have a lot of free time.
Right.
You know, we don't, we're not like sitting in our prayer closet for an hour. I mean, if you are, that's awesome. I'm not.
Unfortunately, I am not.
But we can still have these moments with God and we can still have this closeness and this intimacy with God and these kinds of, you know, really life-changing, perspective-shifting kinds of prayers. Because it doesn't have to be pretty. I mean, David wrote these Psalms from hiding in caves and like, you know, like you said, on the run, like it was not pretty and poised and well put together. And I think that our like Christian social media culture has created this like perfect image of what the perfect Christian does. Yeah. And it makes us feel like we're all falling short, but really it's like, just get with God, like wherever, at the sink when you're doing dishes, folding laundry, when you're, you know, you name it, get with God.
Yes. I think that's why, I mean, Deuteronomy 6 is like our mantra as parents, right? But I think that's why God says, talk about my commands, not just when you're at home, but when you're on the road too, because it's not just this perfect, we're sitting down for this very serious, focused time of Bible study. It's like, let's talk to God as we're driving to the carpool drop off lane in the morning. Let's pray to God and thank him for dinner for sure. But hey, a friend's coming over. Let's thank God for our friendships. Like, we just need to keep inviting him into these places because he's already there. It's just a matter of us recognizing him or not.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I would love for you to just give some final encouragement. This has been so rich and just so wonderful to get to hear your heart. Yeah. And I would love for you to just give some final encouragement to the mama who is listening, who is resonating with this conversation, but is also feeling like, wow, I definitely choose fear over faith most of the time in my life. What would you say to her?
I would say you are in good company. Like if you would talk to my family and ask them if I am a master at choosing faith over fear, I mean, get ready to hear the belly laughs because that's exactly why I show up on social media. That's why I wrote this book, because that is what I need myself. I need this encouragement. I need God's encouragement around this. But here's one thing that I think we all need to be assured of today, like 100% confident. And that's that Jesus came to free us. He came to give us the free, abundant life. So because he offered it, it's possible. Like, our God doesn't pull a bait and switch on us, like dangle in front of us. So just as we lunge forward, like trying to grab it, like he pulls it back. It's unreachable, untouchable. No. If Jesus is giving it, whether or not we feel it, it is possible. And it's ours if we keep holding on. But also if it does feel like out of reach, that's actually the truth. Like, that's the whole point, right? Like, we could never achieve this freedom. We could never reach for it or seize it on our own. But when we follow Jesus, that free, abundant life, I mean, that's only in him we get. But practically speaking, day in and day out, it'll require us to open up our Bibles and actually hear from him and get to know him. Like, step outside of our story, immerse ourselves in his story is really the key to it all. So I think we just need to together keep hanging on to hope day in and day out. It may not look the same every day, and we're going to go up and down, but even if we felt it, I mean, it is coming. Jesus is here, and whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So it will always come in the name of Jesus. His peace is ours today. We just have to wait expectantly for it and seek him first.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. I think that one thing that I like to remember is that, and I like to remind people of, is that, like, God wants to know us and he wants us to know him, and he's never going to withhold himself from us.
So true.
But he's also not going to force himself on us, and we have to be the ones to pursue him. And if you pray, God, show me who you are, show me your character, like, he will be faithful to reveal himself to you 100% of the time. 100%. And he will not delay on that. There are some prayers that are maybe a not right now, or, you know, maybe a no, but that prayer will always, always be answered.
Yep. James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That is a promise for sure.
Yes.
You got it, Jenna. Love it.
Yes, yes, yes. So before we go, I would love for you to just tell us, where can we find you? Where can we connect with you further? Where can we get your book? Tell us all the things, because
Jenna, like, let's all be friends. So you can find me, you can find me on Instagram. I'm Heidi Lee Anderson. That's where I do daily devotionals. I also have an account, This Mother Hen, where I talk about Christian parenting specifically. We're doing a really fun Lego challenge for our kids, where they can win a prize to win more Legos, but they're building Bible scenes, which is very cool. So I'd love to connect on there. Like I said, I'm starting YouTube, so Heidi Lee Anderson over there as well. And then my book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. If you actually order now, you get the audiobook for free, which I think is really fun. The paper copy, admittedly, I think is fun because I made sure it's two different texts. One is just like the normal font of a book, but I really wanted, like, my handwriting in the text too. So it felt like if I was writing on the margins, like, here's my notes. I really wanted that personal feel. So the paper copy is really fun, but the audiobook is what I think conveys my passion, my intention, my humor. You'll be able to pick up on that. So, yes, if you order today, you get the audiobook for free. And you also get access to my 4-week course, The Girlfriend's Guide to Choosing Faith Over Everything. And I used to sell that for $100, and you get it for free if you order the book. And then there's also a really fun Faith Over Fear worship playlist that you can get. And that's all at my website, thismotherhen.com. And you can find all the info there. Yeah. So thank you. I'd love to be friends. So let's do it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. If you are not following Heidi, please, please, if I ask one thing of you, if you do one thing I ask, please follow Heidi. Your life will be better in following what she does. I feel like I just so often, whether it's a social media post or an email, I'm like, wow, she's ministering straight to me. Okay, this is for me. So I just thank you again so much for just taking some time out of your day to come and chat with us. We are so, so blessed by you and by just your faithfulness and your obedience to God. This is not an easy subject to talk about. And you do it with such grace, and you make everyone feel like we can do anything with God on our side.
I need you to follow me everywhere I go. You are like my hype girl. I love you so much. I just want to thank you. Thank you for having me on, because honestly, you are pointing us moms to Jesus, to the good news, and reminding us that what we're doing matters. And so I just love you so much. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Well, thank you. I love you too. And I hope that this is not the last time.
Yeah,
we
get to have, let's do it again.
On the podcast.
Yeah, I love it.
If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.